Here in John's Gospel tonight in chapter number 13, we began to look this morning at the little phrase where the Bible said, unto the end, the Lord loved them unto the end. And we talked about how that in the end, we certainly need our Lord's compassion. We certainly need our Lord's cleansing. And we saw that our Lord left us a challenge in the end. He said, happy are ye if you do them. And if ever there was a day that we need God's people to go to work, go to school, go into their homes, go everywhere we go with the joy of the Lord in our life, it's the day that we live in. There are a lot of people having a tough time. And we can be an influence and we can be a help, but not apart from obedience to our Lord. I want to go on over in the chapter tonight and then into the first part of chapter number 14. There's a truth here tonight that I want to look at as we look at several more things that we need in the end, in this day that we live in. In verse number 33, Jesus said, little children, yet a little while I'm with you. You shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you. And then in verse 34, he said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. How many believes we ought to love one another? Now watch this. He didn't just tell us to love one another. He said, as I have loved you. Now you can say whatever you want to, but that's a tall order right there. I believe when Paul tells us over in the book of, I believe it's Ephesians, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. That's a tall order. One of the things that I believe the Lord is saying there is, doesn't matter how long you've been married, there'll always be some room for improvement. And I believe in loving one another. I believe we do love one another. But when you add that little phrase, as I have loved you, there's always some room for improvement. Amen. In our lives as God's people. He said, a new commandment give I unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And then in verse 35, he said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. You know, there are peoples in the world that are very religious, that all they're interested in doing is killing one another. But God said, my people are different. Amen. We have more than just a religion. I spoke with a young man last week. I'm very concerned about him. Several times while I was on the phone with him, he said, I'm a very religious man. And I didn't say anything. It wasn't the time to say anything, but I will. So was Nicodemus. He was a very religious man too. Amen. But we need to be born again. The Bible said here, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. Now, notice verse 36. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Where are you going, Lord? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me. Watch this. He said, now. You can't follow me now. In other words, we started over here in the first part of chapter 13. Jesus saying, Peter, it's my hour. It's not your hour, son. Not yet. Amen. You can't follow me now. But there'll come a day when you can follow me. He said, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. And Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. How many of y'all believe Peter meant that? I believe he meant it with all of his heart. It brings to mind what Jeremiah said when he said, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Amen. He meant it. But I'm telling you, he didn't know what he was saying. Jesus, in verse 38, he said, Jesus answered him, "Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake?" Question mark. "Verily, verily," or "truly, truly, I say unto you, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me three times." Boy, that's two totally different things, isn't it? Notice verse 1 in chapter 14. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." And Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Chapter 13 and chapter 14 are spoken in the same chamber. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. Jesus' hour has come, and Jesus is trying to bring some words of comfort and some words of command and some words of challenge and some words of compassion to his disciples before he leaves off the scene. Tonight we want to look at the last part of this chapter 13 and then go on into chapter 14 and see what God would say to us. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to stand and read the Word of God. Lord, I'm so glad we have the Word of God in our midst tonight. Lord, I'm thankful tonight that your Word, Lord, will not return void. It will accomplish whereunto you sent it. Thank you, Lord, for the little girl that got saved Wednesday night. Thank you, God, for the little girl that trusted Jesus this morning. God, I just thank you, Lord, that the Word of God is still speaking to hearts. And God, we pray now tonight, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts in this service. Father, I know that you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. Bless our precious people, Lord, in the hospital, at home, trying to recover. God, I pray tonight, Lord, you'd just be near them and be dear to them. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We noticed in the first part of the chapter this morning, our Lord's compassion. He loves us. Our Lord's cleansing. He'll clean us up. Amen. And then our Lord's challenge. I want us to notice, beginning in verse number 34 here tonight, in chapter number 13, our Lord's commandment. "A new commandment," he said, "I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another." This is not a suggestion that's given to us from the Lord. It's a commandment. It's just the same as saying, "Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt have no other gods before me." All of those commandments, the Bible is telling us, God has given us a commandment. Let me say something. A lot of people want to dodge the Old Testament commandments. They're easier to keep than Jesus' commandments. I can tell you that right now. Amen. And Jesus said here, "I'm giving you a commandment that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." The Bible said, "Let us love not in word and in tongue, but in deed and in truth." And I believe that's important. And I believe God smiles on that. And I believe that creates an atmosphere that the Spirit of God can work in when God sees His people loving one another. Amen. Not only does it create an atmosphere that God can work in among His people, but God can work in among the heathen. Amen. Because they're looking from the outside in, and they see that we are actually the disciples of the Lord and children of the living God and have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. A commandment tonight. He said, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another." I believe tonight that there's nothing in the world that falling in love with Jesus won't fix. Amen. And nothing in the world that falling in love with Jesus will not fix. Turn with me, if you will, over here in the Word of God in the book of Ephesians just a moment. And then I'll be right back over here to John. Ephesians chapter 4. Listen to what the Bible said. Ephesians, I believe it's chapter 4. I'll see it when I get there. Ephesians chapter 4. Yes, it is. The Bible said in verse number 30, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption." How many likes to put the emphasis on the fact that we're saved forever? Amen. We don't have to worry about that. When we got saved by the grace of God, God wrote our name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and the Spirit of God sealed us till the day of redemption. Amen. I'll never be lost. Jesus said, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." I like that. But that's not all of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said here, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Watch this now. "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." You say, "Preacher, why did you read that passage of Scripture?" Here's why. There's only one way that you and I have the capacity to love one another as Christ has loved us, and that's through the blessed Holy Ghost of the living God. Amen. That's why the Bible said the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I don't know about you tonight, but I figured something out about life. The flesh is still just as selfish as it always has been. Amen. But thank God when the flesh is brought under the control of and submission to the Holy Spirit, then we can love one another as God hath loved us and given Himself for us. I believe there's our Lord's commandment that we need unto the end. We need that unto the end. I believe that, listen, I've said this for years, and I believe it's becoming more and more evident every day that we live. We're going to need one another, church. I mean, we're going to need one another, amen. I believe that with all of my heart. We need one another now. But I'm telling you, right now, people do very kind and very nice things for Preacher and Miss Eve. I tell you, there's no telling what kind of vegetables might be in the car, or things people do for us. And right now, it's just out of a heart of love and out of a heart of gratitude. I'm telling you, that may be out of a heart of necessity before it's over with. Amen. I'm telling you, God knows that this thing is winding down, and unto the end, we need His compassion. We need His cleansing. We need His challenge, and we need His commandment in our life. Look in verse number 36. There's something else that we need. That we need our Lord's correction. You say, "Preacher, do you believe that the Lord was correcting Simon Peter?" Well, yes, I do. Peter said, "Lord, I'll go with you. Listen, I'll even die. I'll lay down my life for your sake." But Jesus answered and said unto him, He said, "It's not quite right what you're saying there, Peter. Wilt thou lay down my life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me three times." If you go over into John chapter number 21, towards the end of the chapter, Jesus has come and Peter has told the men that were around him there, "I go a-fishing." And they went with him. And you come on over into verse number 12 in chapter 21, and Jesus said to Peter and to those that were with him, "Come and dine." And the Bible said none of the disciples durst ask him, "Who art thou?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is the third time that Jesus showed himself alive to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. He said, "Preacher, what's this got to do with anything?" How many of you all can remember there when Jesus was out there being crucified and he made eye contact with Peter? Amen. They were taking him to crucify him. And the Word of God said when that cock crew, how many remembers what Peter did? The Word of God said he went out and he wept bitterly. Amen. I believe he was feeling pretty low. But watch what the Bible said here. Jesus never mentioned it. But in verse number 15, when they had dined, Jesus said to who? Simon Peter. The same one that had spoke up in chapter number 13, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" In other words, Peter over here is saying, Lord, I'll follow you. I'll lay down my life for your sake. But Jesus is in the correction business. Amen. He said, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith unto him again, the second time, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time. Why? I believe, my friend, listen, as many of the commentators do, that listen, Peter had denied the Lord three times, and Jesus wanted to help him to overcome what he had done wrong, and he wanted to correct the situation in his life. Amen. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said it the third time. You know what I mean there. You think about that. If somebody asks you a question and you answer it once, you want them to believe you right there. But Jesus said, lovest thou me? He said, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. I want you to know that in these end times, Jesus is still correcting the error in my life, in your life, and in Peter's life. He loves us that much to give us that commandment. And then we see his correction. But he doesn't stop there. The Lord does not just command us to love one another and correct us when we're wrong. But watch this. The Bible said in verse number 1 of chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. There's a comfort coming here from the Lord. The Lord wants to comfort his disciples. He knows what's coming up down the road for him. He's facing Calvary. He's facing death. He's facing being spit on. He's facing mockery. He's facing a mock trial. Amen. And he knows that they're not going to understand. But he said, let not your heart be troubled. I want to give you something that really blessed my heart. I've never seen this before. Back up in chapter 13, through to verse 21. When Jesus had said this, watch this now. In verse 21, he was, somebody tell me those three words. Troubled in spirit. And he testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. The one, my friend, that's telling the disciples, let not your heart be troubled, is troubled in his own spirit because of what's coming. Aren't you glad, thank God, that he has the ability to comfort us in our trouble? Even, my friend, when he was troubled in his own heart and in his own life. Now, I wonder, I'm not going to labor this point, but I wonder if my life at times has not troubled my Lord. Amen. I tell you, I wonder at times when he looks at me and he sees disobedience in my life. He sees things in my life that are displeasing to him. How many wonders if that don't trouble him in his spirit? But thank God that doesn't keep him from wanting to come to us in our trouble and comfort us when we need to be comforted. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something right now. If we had to live perfect to be comforted, we'd never be comforted. Say amen. I believe God comes and comforts us because he loves us. We see the Lord's comfort. You say, preacher, what is it that brought comfort? He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there was a peace here. He said, are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go and prepare a place for you. Let me say this tonight. There have been times in my ministry. Years ago, my wife learned a little chorus. And it says, everything's all right in my Father's house. In my Father's house. In my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house. Where there's joy, joy, joy. I tell you, there have been times in my ministry when my life was turned upside down. My heart was turned upside down. My heart was turned inside out. And Miss Eve would just sing to me about the Father's house, letting me know we might be in a turmoil here, but thank God there's one over yonder that can comfort us in the midst of our trouble, in the midst of our turmoil. I don't know about you tonight. There's nobody can comfort like the Lord. Amen. Nobody can comfort like the Lord. The Bible said here, let not your heart be troubled. Somebody said one time, You may be in trouble. Just don't let the trouble get in you. Amen. Don't let your heart get troubled. We may be in a situation where we don't know what to do, but He can comfort us in any situation. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. There's a lot of people that speculate about the mansions. I'm going to tell you something right now. A mansion does not make heaven heaven. A street of pure, transparent gold does not make heaven heaven. A gate of solid pearl does not make heaven heaven. I'm telling you that walls of jasper does not make heaven heaven. I'll tell you what makes heaven heaven. The Son of God. Amen. The Lord God and the Lamb are the light thereof. And that makes heaven heaven tonight. And Jesus said, listen, I'm going to prepare a place for you. You remember, I love this text. You remember over there where the Lord told Moses, He said, behold, there is a place by me. I don't know about you, but that speaks to my heart. Amen. I know this tonight. God is no respecter of persons. And if He made a place by Him for Moses, He made a place by Him for you and for me tonight. Amen. Our Lord's comfort. I don't know about you, but the longer I live, the more that I see, the more that I need that in this generation that we live in. Amen. Listen, it's good when Miss Eve sings, everything's all right. But I tell you, there's one thing better than that. That's when He whispers, it's all right, son. It's all right. I'm going to tell you tonight, I believe with all of my heart, it's all right in the Father's house, and it'll be all right on the way. Watch this now, and I'm done tonight. The Bible said in verse number 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. What do we need in these last days? The Bible said He loved them to the end. We see our Lord's compassion, our Lord's cleansing, the challenge that He left us, the commandment that He left us, the correction that's going on in our lives, and the comfort that He breathes with the Holy Spirit of God into our lives. Well, you say, preacher, what's this last thing? He's coming. He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, He said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. How many believes that Abraham was a man that looked for a city? How many of you all have known some of what we would call the old saints of God? Amen. How many of you all know that they had something in common? That was this. They didn't drive their stakes too deep down here. They stayed ready to move. Amen. They understood that Jesus was coming, that this was not a permanent dwelling place, that we are pilgrims and strangers on the earth, and that this world is not our home. But thank God we're headed that way. And Jesus is coming again. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm looking forward to the coming of the Lord. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be more wonderful. Listen, I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love Him. But they're revealed to us by the Spirit. God has told us in the Word, there'll be no more sin. There'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more tears. There'll be no more funerals. There'll be no more hospitals. There'll be no more nursing home. I like this. There'll be no more misunderstandings in a family. No more misunderstandings in a church. There'll be no more of that mess, because we'll be at home with Him. We'll have a body likened to the Son of God, a glorified body, a perfect body, a perfect mind. What would it be like not to have to worry about opening your mouth? How many of y'all know as we get older, we slow our mouths down a little bit, don't we? Because we've done learned, amen, that we've done spit something out, so we learned to slow it down. What would it be like just to be able to open your mouth, Brother Jimmy, and know whatever comes out of it, it'll be perfect. Amen. You don't even have to stop and think about it, because we have His mind. We have His body. And my friend, it'll be perfect there. I don't know about you, but that thrills me tonight. That thrills me tonight to know that our Lord is coming again. Jesus said, you know where I'm going, whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas now speaks up and he said, Lord, they still don't understand. We know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I mean, he's glad you're, you know, I hope this is the case. I hope there's nobody in this building tonight guessing about what the right way is. Amen. I hope there's nobody that questions that. Amen. That he is the way. Amen. Somebody said, I got a lot invested in this way. I tell you, we don't have near as much in it as he does. Say amen. He laid his life down. Amen. And purchased us a way that we could meet him in eternity. I don't know about you tonight. The Bible said here, Jesus said, I am the way. Thank God that we're going somewhere. How are we going? We're going through Jesus. I am the truth. In a world that's full of deceit and lies, well, who's the truth? Jesus is. And I am the life. We were dead in trespasses and sin, but our Lord gives us life and life eternal. He said, no man can come to the Father except by me. I don't know about you tonight, but I believe that. I preached that in prison for 10 years. I've been preaching that ever since the Lord saved me. And God willing, Brother Joe, I'll be preaching it when I die. There's only one way to heaven, and Jesus is the way. Amen. You must be born again. Must be born again. I'll tell you tonight, I believe with all of my heart that if we'll walk with God, we'll see more of what this preacher got to see this morning. I'm telling you, you never heard such weeping. You never heard such calling on God in all of your life. Coming out of a young lady's life that realized at 10 years old she was a sinner and that she was guilty and she needed a Savior. I tell you, I believe with all of my heart that if we'll just walk with God and live for God and be clean with God and obey His commandment, we'll get to see much more of that same thing. Amen. As people come to know Christ as their Savior, what a blessing it is. What a blessing it is to know the Lord will comfort us in these days and to know that He's coming for us. Let me ask you something. They interviewed some people. One man in particular sticks in my mind. And that one of the people that was on that mountain over there in Iraq. And he said, he made this statement. He said, I want to thank President Obama for sending the airplanes and for sending. Listen, what would it be like to be up on a mountain without a drink of water? And without something for your baby to eat? What would it be like to know if you go down off of the mountain, they're going to cut your head off? Amen. I just want to say this with all of my heart tonight. They were looking forward to some help coming. Amen. And I thank God for the help that was sent to them. But I want to tell them that's on that mountain that's saved by the grace of God. There's more help on the way than this country could ever provide. Our King is coming. Our King is coming. Thank God He's coming for those that have been birthed into the family of God. I believe with all of my heart, God wants us to just walk with Him and talk with Him and just live for Him and love one another. Amen. As He hath loved us. You know something tonight? That's a tall order. But you know what? Jesus has never commanded us to do anything that we couldn't do with His help. Amen. We don't have any excuses. The Holy Spirit came. He lives in me and gives me everything I need to obey the Lord. Amen. Everything I need. How many believes, listen, in these last days that He loves us to the end? Amen. He loved them to the end. That love is not going anywhere. Amen. The love of many may wax cold. But I'm going to tell you, iniquity may abound, and it will. But that's not talking about in the hearts of God's dear people. Amen. While iniquity's abounding in the world, The love of God ought to be abounding in the hearts and lives of God's precious people. Amen. Let me just say this tonight. There's nothing more important than getting up in the morning and just trying to be sensitive to the Lord. You know what the Lord might do? My wife, a little while back, it's not been too long ago, I heard my wife say on the phone, she said to a lady, she said, "I'm sorry. I'm not going to call the lady's name. The lady's devastated by what's going on in her family." And I heard my wife say, "I'm sorry." And then you could hear her say something, I'm not sure what, probably about what, Miss Eve. Miss Eve said, "I was supposed to call you yesterday." She said, "The Spirit of God impressed my heart to call you, and I didn't call you. You forgive me." And I tell you, they had a wonderful conversation. Amen. Let me just say this tonight. You never know. You never know. Never know what one phone call might mean to somebody. You never know what one little card might mean to somebody. What a piece of pie or a piece of cake might mean to somebody. Amen. Or some vegetables, Brother Brian. It doesn't matter. Just whatever God says do, do it. Love one another. God will bless that. He'll bless that. He'll bless that. He'll bless that. And it seems like, listen to me carefully, that we're living in a generation when you express love, it almost shocks people. It hadn't ought to be that way. Amen. We ought to love one another. Amen. As He has loved us. And I believe God will bless that. God will use that. Somebody around this church here will say, "You know what? I believe that outfit belongs to Jesus. They've got love in their heart, one for another. Love in their heart for the Bible. Love in their heart for the saints. Love in their heart for sinners." Amen. I tell you, Sister Janet, Brother Jeff, little Brian up there this morning, it's hard for a pastor to sit there, amen, when that little head's sticking up over that bed. Oh, he can't sing a word. He's 6 years old. But I tell you what, his presence in that choir sure did bless my heart. Amen. You say, "Preacher, what if there ain't room enough in that choir?" Well, we'll just set them down here on the porch and let me look at them. Amen. They're a blessing to me. Amen. You know what I believe they know? I believe they know somebody cares. Somebody loves them. Amen. And I'm going to tell you right now, that'll get the job done every time. Amen. How many's glad you come to the house of God tonight? How many's glad you're saved? Amen. On your way to heaven. Amen. How many could have a little bit of improvement like preacher in that loving one another as Christ has loved us? Amen. I tell you, I need to improve in that area, and I want to. I've not arrived. That's what Paul said. I've not yet attained. I'm not there yet. But thank God I'm on my way. Amen. I'm on my way. I appreciate you being here tonight. Come back Wednesday night, the Lord willing. And I believe with all of my heart tonight, God has given us a tall order. Let's go out of here, and in the morning when our feet hit the floor, say, "Lord, would you help me to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit today? Lord, if you impress somebody to me to call them, amen, somebody ought to call Sister Phyllis this week. She's beat up and bruised up from that wreck, amen. And I'm not going to start naming names, but I don't know where I got her number. I called you, didn't I, Brother Joe? And if you need Phyllis's number, get it from Brother Joe. Wouldn't that bless her heart, brother? Amen. Just to give her a call. She was going to come this morning black and blue. Amen. Because she was determined. She wanted Geraldine to be able to come and be with us. She's lived her life. You can examine it for others. For others. For others. For others. And I tell you tonight, Just I'm not telling you what to do. Just mind the Lord. Walk with Him. And I tell you, it'll be a blessing. There'll be so much going on, it'll be like a beehive. Amen. And you know what happens in a beehive? Honey gets made. Amen. And you know what happens when honey gets made? Preacher's going to catch a little bit of it. It'll make him sweeter. Amen. Amen. It'll help us along the way. Amen. It'll help us. Well, are you glad you come tonight? Amen. A new commandment give I unto you. I'm going to tell you right now, I appreciate that. these little young'uns, little Owen back there, where'd Braylee go? She changed places. Then she got Miss Jennifer straightened out and went back to Mommy. It'll take a lot longer to straighten Mommy out, Braylee, than it did Jennifer, honey. Amen. Amen. But listen, these little young'uns, how many of y'all know they know when somebody loves them? They know. Amen. They need to see us loving one another. And they need us to love them. Amen. As Christ loved the church. What a blessing.